This is, I guess it's for me too, because going through what I went through losing my husband, I had even wrote this down before he died about how Pastor said, I liked what he said the other night about when his brother-in-law called him and asked him to pray for his job, and he said, I really didn't want to pray. I didn't feel like praying, but he did it anyway in obedience. Well, one morning I got up before Harold died, and I couldn't wait to get to work because that's when I have my prayer time, my special time. And God gives me words. I write it down. Well, that morning I got there, and just everything agitated me. I didn't want to be at work, and that was very unusual because I love my job. But that morning, something just wasn't sitting right in my heart. I didn't want to pray. I didn't want to read my Bible, and I knew that wasn't right. So I just closed my eyes, and I just started feeling the warmth of the sun come through, and God started speaking through me through the sun, the warmth, and letting him know, telling me how much he loved me, and it didn't matter what walks of life I was going through or was going to go through, that he loved me, that he could use me just as I am. And that touched my heart. But I didn't know why I was in that fog. I was just in a fog. I didn't know why I was feeling down. And it was just not a good morning. And God gave me a 2 Samuel 23:4-5, which I didn't know what it was until I looked it up. It says, he is like the morning at sunrise, unlike cloudless morning, like the brightness after a rain that brings the grass from the earth. Is not my house right with God? Has he not made an everlasting covenant? And I thought that was awesome because he reminded me why I had a job, why I had a family, why I had a church home, and just all the blessings that I forget to bless him for. I started blessing him right then, thanking him. And by the time I got through thanking him of all the things that I could think of that he's done for me and what he's going to do for me, I was ready to sing praises and to you know, it's just awesome. But before I could do that, a man come up that I knew, Gerald, that lives close to us. He has a canoeing, kayaking. He did roofing, too, and I know you know him. But he come up that morning, and I asked him, I said, well, what are you doing now? Because I saw his kayaks on the thing. I said, you don't do roofing anymore? He said, oh, no. He said, I'm into a business now. I'm doing kayaking. And he said, I just love it when I'm out on that water. And he said, it's such a peace. And I quoted to him. I said, yeah. I said, I just used to love to go fishing. And I said, get out there in the mornings and look out. And I'd love to see the faces of people in other boats. The joy that was on their face when the sunrise would come up, whether I was catching fish or not, I was happy. Now, my husband, he liked to catch fish or he wanted to go home. But I could sit there and watch that sunrise come up. And so while I was talking to him, I said, I just love it, what the nature and what God shows us when we're out on the water. Well, his response was, he said, yeah, he said, I just love to see nature. And he said, I just know when I'm out there, I just know there's something, someone, or some supreme being. So this little girl speaks up and says, yes, that only could be God. Because he didn't mention God. Some people don't, you know, he might not even know about God. But I love the song where it says that he'll reach us where no one else can reach us. I like that because I had written down, God is enough to stir in people that the unknowing desire, the longing we feel, even when someone doesn't know God, God can move that person. And just think about what he did with Moses on the burning bush, because he was running. He was running for his life. And he didn't know all about God yet. And it took that burning bush to speak, for God to speak through him. And then he knew about God. So I've been praying for this fella, because he's going to know about God if he comes back up, talks to me again. I'm going to give him a little word of God. But anyway, I had that written down, but I added stuff today. But this is what God gave me today. And when we need have sorrows in our life, we don't need to wallow in them. At all the times, it only brings more of the same. We need to keep busy, because when my husband first died, her husband was sitting on the back porch listening to jerk tearing music, and her and I running around getting things done. Come back, and she said, "He's over there just crying his eyeballs out." Well, it's easy for us to sit and listen to these music, like Jamie listened to those tear jerking songs on the way home from Harold's funeral. You know, we can put ourselves in that situation. It's how we handle it. We need to make a decision. Are we going to wallow in that sorrow, or are we going to get up and we're going to get busy? And Hosea 10:12 says, "Sow with a view to righteousness, reap in accordance with kindness. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he comes to rain righteousness on you." And the fallow ground is unplowed ground. With some seasons, our life, we do have fallow ground, and we all go through a season where something's bothering us, burdening us down. We have problems. Just because we're Christians, it doesn't mean we're going to be on top of the world, because that's not what God gave us, that we are going to go through trials. We are going to go through things that we're going to not like at the time. But that fire, walking through that fire, in Exodus, I forgot the quote, but in Exodus it talks about walking through the fire and not getting burned, and that you'll no longer see the Egyptians in your life. Well, I wrote that down years ago, because I was walking through a lot of stuff, and he gave me that, and he said, "You will no longer see those Egyptians." Well, I knew those Egyptians was the burdens that was in my life, the problems in my life, and I went through all that, and I was not burned. I wasn't hurt. I didn't get a scrape on me. You know, it just, God walked me through that. So in seasons of our life, we will have that. It's not being, when our fallow ground is being left fallow, we're not allowing God to till it. We're not allowing him to turn us upside down, to turn us and get those things out of our lives. Because when I'm praying sometime and I'll think of a thought about somebody, I say, "Oh Lord, where'd that come from? Remove that from me." You know, little things like that. Satan loves to put those things in our head, and that, to me, that's fallow ground. We don't need stuff like that. And we need to let him work on our lives until he cleans all that up. And when he was giving me that, it reminded me of the time that Harold and I had a garden when we lived close to Mom and Groves. And he always had a pretty garden. He'd run home from work and get out there and till till nighttime, have a lantern out there tilling, and he just loved it. Well, one year we didn't have to buy dirt. The city of Groves gave us, I don't even remember how many loads of free dirt. And we were so excited, because when you get something free, you think you've got something there. Well, we started throwing that dirt in that garden and tilling it, and little stuff come up, unwanted stuff. And I couldn't tell you what all was in that dirt. It come from a sewage plant. And It was good fertilizer. But you would think, going through all that system, that nothing would come out. Well, there was all kind of stuff coming out. Every day we'd get out there and we'd till that ground, and I'd be the raker. Harold would till and I'd rake, and we'd pull stuff. And I bet you we did that 4 or 5 days, cleaning that dirt. And then finally, the end result, that was the prettiest dirt I think we've ever had. But we worked to get that. Well, God has to do that with us too. He has to give us that will for us to allow him to work in us, to clean us up, to till all those things out of our lives, to get them out of our life, that those daily things that we don't need in our life anymore. We need the freedom to get up every morning and praise him. No matter what, it could be raining outside, thank him for the rain. Could be sunshine and hot. I love where I'm working because people come up to me and they say, oh, I just hate the cold. Well, in the summer, oh, I hate the summer. Well, I'm sitting there in my little heater rooms and I just love cold weather. I just love to see the red when there's, I just can't stand it. I said, well, the only thing I don't like is if it's raining and I get wet. But I love cold weather. Well, in the summertime, they're out there and they're just a fussing because it's hot and they're all sweaty. And I just love it in here because I'm nice and cold. I've got my jacket on. But people seem to tend to fuss about no matter what situation they're griping about it. But me, I want to be the positive, even though I might not like the weather either, but I'm going to find something positive about that. But I like it because what God did to our garden, it was so cool because he gave us that beautiful dirt. And I had written in Ezekiel 37:33 says, thus says the Lord God, on the day that I cleanse you from all your iniquities, I will cause the cities to be inhabited, and the waste places will be rebuilt. Verse 34, and the desolate land will be cultivated instead of being desolated in the sight of everyone who passes by. Verse 35, and they will say, this waste, desolate, and ruined cities are fortified and inhabited. That can be our homes, our families, and our cities. God can fortify. He can justify. He can cleanse us. And we can give that and put it in our homes. We can do that in our families and our city. We can do the cleanup in our city like Pastor has that vision of having the city of love. How do we do it? We got to get out there and we've got to be the workers. We've got to be willing to work with the pastor to reach out to the hurting, to reach out to the needy. You know, sometimes you might not have money to help the needy, but you can pray for them. You can do little things for them. I don't have the answers for everything that we need to do with this city, but it just takes one person to stand up and say, I'm ready, I'm willing, God, use me. And that's where I'm at right now. I'm wanting to be used, and I know God will open that door one day for me, but it's going to take all of us. And my thing I was going to do tonight was in unity, but God wouldn't let me do that tonight. I'll have to do that another night. But I like the last verse. It said, verse 35, and they will say, this desolate land has become like the Garden of Eden. Isn't that awesome? The city of Vidor could become the Garden of Eden if we're out there. And we are. This church is doing everything that we know to do. But when others come together with us, we pull them in. We go out with them. This city can be the Garden of Eden. It could be a cleansing time for us, and I like that. When we stay firm, stay in tune with the Holy Spirit, we can get so much more done. Yesterday God gave me two words, and I guess that's why he wanted me to redo my message today. I got home and I'm sitting there typing. I'm thinking, and I'm going along, okay, God, okay. And I'm typing and writing and typing, and he's giving me things. And I like that I'm able to listen to him, because I thought I had everything down pat. I was ready for that message tonight. But yesterday God gave me two words, getting ready. And I like that because Was it you saying, get excited? Somebody was saying, get excited, what God's going to do. Stay excited. Well, I was praying yesterday, and all I kept seeing was getting ready. And I thought about it, and I said, now that God cleanses us, we now need to go out and spread the message of God's love, forgiveness. In Acts 4:1-4, but I didn't write, but I think 1. Many of the 5,000 believed in the resurrection of Jesus Christ because they heard the message. They heard the word, and they were ready to go out and preach to others. They were getting ready. Can you imagine 5,000 people, some of them went out and preached. It didn't say how many, but out it said many of the 5,000 believed. So all it takes is many, this few here to believe, and we can go out and conquer this city. We can conquer the nation, the troubles that are in the nation right now. Lift them up like y'all do on Tuesday night, praying for them. There's nothing that God can't do in this city. There's nothing God can't do in our lives. There's nothing that he can't do to rebuild and restore us. He can give us back everything we've lost. In fact, talking about our garden, we got so much more out of that garden than we expected, because when our garden come up, what we planted, well, other things came up too. Beautiful tomatoes all over that garden. So tomato seeds do not die when the sewage planted. It does not kill them. But I'm telling you, I just had to throw that in. We had the biggest red tomatoes we have ever had. So see, God blessed us from all that hard work, all that shoveling through that nasty dirt. There's a song where you've got to get a little dirty to do the work. Well, we got a little dirty, but we got something extra out of that garden, because those that's right, yes. So I like that. I liked how it said many of the 5,000 believed, and they believed, and they heard the message, and they went out. So us, we heard, we go out. It doesn't take that many to spread the word of God. It doesn't take 1,000 people. Takes one to believe what God can do in your life. And I'm a testimony of what God has done in my life. I'm alive today because God had saved me many, many times from death. And I mean, that's another testimony, but there's many times if I wouldn't have called out to Jesus, I wouldn't be standing here tonight. And Mary can testify to that. But I didn't mean to say that either. Anyway, Acts 19:21, repeat therefore and return that your sins will be wiped away, in order that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Cleansing, getting ready, the garden. And I thought that was cool, because I had already talked about the garden a couple of weeks ago and wrote that down. And when I saw that, I thought, oh God, you're including my garden. And Romans 15:1-6. Now we who are strong ought to bear witness of those without strength, and not just pleasing ourselves. Let us each please his neighbor for his good, to have edification. And it also says on verse 3, for even Christ did not please himself, but it is written. It said reproached here, but I didn't like that word. It said, it is written, insults of those who insult thee fell upon me. Verse 4, for whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instructions, that through perseverance and the encouragement of the scripture we might have hope. So what was written thousands of years ago, I love it, because it gives us our daily bread. It gives us everything we need in this Bible. When we're down, when we don't know where else to go, I'm one of those Bible people that I'll, okay, God, where do you want me to go today? Turn my, and there it is. And it's like, it just jumps out at me. So I know what this says is true for me. It jumps out at me. It's written for me. It's written for you. And it says, now on verse 5, now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus. In verse 6, that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I love that. Let God renew us, renew our spirits of our mind. Let the things of our mind, let it be known for years to come. That's my prayer, that he renews my mind. He shows me, and I liked where I said it jumped out at me, because I did put here, he gives me a newness of how we should act, how we should pray, how we should worship, and how excited to look to see what God does for us. And I love it. Pastor even said that the other night, that when he was reading about Ezekiel, he said that passage never jumped out at him about when he struck the water. He didn't pick it up. He made the man pick it up. And I like that, because it stood out to Pastor. And that's what, when we're reading the Bible, things, God shows us things. And you gave me a good idea a couple of weeks ago about writing a journal, and I've been writing down things every day that God's given me. I talk to him. I tell him just how I feel when I'm having a bad day, and it helps me, because I can go back and read it, and then the next day I'm thanking him for helping me through that bad day. And It's just lovely to write a journal to God, to write a journal for me, to be able to tell him how I feel, because he already knows how I feel. He knows how you feel, and he's there for us. And I want to just thank you for giving me the opportunity to tell you what God has done in my life. And I want to continue letting him use me. In Jesus' name,